You may be seated. We, as a church, that a church is supposed to reach people, that cannot be argued. You would have to do a lot of mental gymnastics in the scripture to come to that conclusion that you don't have to, that we're not supposed to go out and actively reach people. We talked about that this morning. It can be disobeyed, but it cannot be argued. That is why we have one by one. That is why we have tracts. That's why we encourage you to share your faith, be a good testimony, all of those things, because it is our responsibility as a church. And that's why this morning we push that, encourage you. Be here that first night for one by one soul winning. It's going to be tremendous. The great thing about a church, our church, is that fairly regularly we have new people that come on our doorstep. By the way, that makes church exciting. If it was just the same 15 people and no one new ever came, that wouldn't be very exciting at all. That means that people are going out and they're living their faith, they're sharing their faith, and they're trying to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. This Friend Day, it's exciting. By the way, it ought to always be exciting, but Friend Day is exciting when you hear testimonies, and I've heard good ones of people that have met folks and people that just came their way or someone they haven't seen in years, and they're inviting them to church. By the way, Friend Day works. You say, well, wait a minute. Everybody that comes to church comes because a friend or someone invited them, and so even on Friend Day it works, but it works on other days also. Brother Hardesty gave a testimony. Isla started coming to church because of a friend. And then because of that, Brother Hardesty, well, I don't know if that's a testimony or not. But anyhow, they're all over the room here. As I look around, I can see people. I remember they started coming on Friend Day. And that's exciting. We want to keep that exciting. I always tell our staff when we have staff meetings before a program, particularly in the fall, it's like you think about next year. There will be people in our church that are just regular people, and we know them, and they're part of what's going on, and they're our friends, and they're not even in church right now. But they'll probably start coming over the next month or two. And that's an exciting thing to think about. We are an outreach church. Remember this, the number one reason people come to a church is because they are invited. Someone just simply says, would you come to my church? We had someone. We always have somebody, but I met someone that came here last Sunday, and one of the Filipino ladies, I forget her name, which one it was, but she was getting her oil changed and just said, hey, why don't you come visit my church? And the guy came on that next Sunday, and so that's an exciting thing. So if we invite them to come to church, we also want them to feel comfortable. I'm going to get to the text in a minute. I'm going somewhere here. We want them just, that's the starting point. Let's get a strike a conversation and we'll invite them. We want them to feel comfortable. We want them to meet Christ. We want them also to become part of the church. We want them to develop friends in the church. And we want also to reach their family and others that they know. And so we have a passion to do that. But here's the thing. It takes people to reach people. It does. You say, well, what about the Apostle Paul? Okay, Jesus reached him. But there was others that encouraged him after Jesus met him on the road. And very few people are on the road to Damascus. Jesus commands us very clearly in the Bible, he wants to use us to reach people. It takes people to reach people. And that's what we want to make sure that we're doing. So, that's the staff's job. That's the Sunday school teacher's job. No, it's Christian's job. Okay? I've looked in the Bible. Yes, pastors and those that are in that role, they have a responsibility. But you read the Bible, it's all of our job to get out there and reach people. It's all of our job to act and be Christians towards those that are coming our way. It's our responsibility. If every member of this church, and I mentioned this, if every member of this church made it their responsibility when a new person came in that they connected with and they kind of made it their mission, their responsibility to help that person grow in their faith. Maybe someone that came to your Sunday school class and you connect with them. Listen, that building would be too small that we're building right now. It takes people to encourage people. And so with the fall program coming, I just want to encourage us. Now back to our text. Leave it to a lawyer to try to catch Jesus in his words, but that's what's happening here. A lawyer asked Jesus, what's the greatest law in the Bible? What's the greatest command in the Bible? And he told him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And this is where it gets to this point. He's trying to justify himself. He says, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus gives him this story in relationship to that. This story of the Good Samaritan is an answer to the question, who is my neighbor? And as we look at this story, I think we see some very practical sound advice for how we can also, as Christians, help our neighbors or those who God brings into our life. And I'm applying it specifically to our church tonight. So let me give you a few thoughts from this verse. Number one, it is every member's responsibility to be involved with helping others. All of us. Why did this man ask this question? The Bible tells us, and I think we saw it in verse 29, he was trying to justify himself. He was trying to find it out. He was a lawyer, not a lawyer like we think of a lawyer, you know, Larry Parker, whoever's trying to get you $1 million because someone stepped on your toe. No, this was a lawyer that looked at the law books, but he didn't see Christ in the law books. And so when Christ came, he was trying to catch him. By the way, he couldn't because Jesus Christ was who he said he was. But the point here is he's making the point to him that it's his responsibility, and not just his responsibility, but everybody's responsibility to be a good Christian neighbor to everybody. We can try to talk ourselves out of it. Well, I'm not good at this or I'm not good at that. No, all of us are supposed to act like Christian towards other people. Everybody that comes in our church, they ought to come in the church and they ought to always feel welcome. They ought to feel like there's people here that love them, that care about them, and want them to come back. We said that the number one reason people come to church is because they're invited. Do you know why the number one reason why a new person will come back after they've been here one time? Because the people are friendly. You say, well, what about doctrine? We have the right doctrine. We have all the stuff we're supposed to have. But they don't know that when they come in. They're coming in. And by the way, there are people that come in sometimes, and our church is conservative. Is conservative. Why are we conservative? Well, I'll just throw this at you. Because the Bible's conservative. A lot of the garbage that's going on in our society is a result of a lot of the garbage that's going on in churches that call themselves Christian. And they believe in Christ. I'm not against them for that. They believe in Christ. They're trying to get the gospel out. But they feel like we have to do what's being done out there to get people in here. And that's not true. If we'll just follow the Bible and we'll preach the gospel and we'll love people the way God says we're supposed to love people, they will come. But we have to be friendly. No one should ever come here, and they don't, but they should never come here and feel like, I'm not coming back because people weren't friendly. Have you ever been to a church where you've experienced that? Not bad people, but they just won't. You sit there and it's like, is it that? Did I not wear my deodorant today? I took a shower. Now, granted, it was 3 months ago, but I took one. And it's not that they're bad people. They're uncomfortable, and their church probably hasn't promoted to them that they're supposed to be friendly. But I'm telling you, step out of that, and we need to be friendly with people. So, well, I'm in a ministry. Great, be friendly in your ministry. Well, I'm this. Great, be friendly while you do that. How do we do that? Just greet people. It's complicated. Here it is. Hello, how are you today? That's difficult. Now, for the deaf, I think I'm doing it right. It's like this, right? Okay? It's like, how are you? And then they start going like this, and I'm like, no sabe. Okay? I know, like, you know, they gave me a nickname, and I won't tell them what that is. But, by the way, 9th anniversary, let's give them a hand. Thanks. Okay? By the way, we ought to all learn that. So when the deaf person comes in, we can say hi to them. Now, for a long time, I was doing this, and then I was told that means thank you. So they're visiting church, and I'm like, hey, thank you. It's like I'm not even saying hi. But let's be friendly to everybody when they come. Just greet them. Get to know people. By the way, maybe you can sit with them. If they're in your class and you're talking with them, don't say, well, have a good day. Go sit over there by yourself. Say, hey, why don't you come sit with me? Now, I don't do that because I don't know how comfortable they would be sitting up here. I definitely wouldn't be comfortable sitting next to Brother Pineda. But get to talk to them. Help people out. Introduce them to others. You know, if I said that the number one reason people come to church is because they're what? Invited. Let's say it together. The number one reason people usually come to church is because they are? And the number one reason they'll come back to a church after they visit is because the church was? Do you know the number one reason they stay in a church? Thank you. That was right on cue, and it actually made sense. It's because they start to develop friends. Do you know people want friends? The friends that we have out there, they're not bad, but if they don't know the Lord, it's kind of, there's a disconnect there. They want to come to church, and they want good, godly friends. And by the way, you're here, and you've been here for a while. You have friends. Let's never make it to where they can't crack the shell and get in. The easiest place there ought to be to get into church is to make friends is at the church. Let's be friendly to people. Don't never say nothing mean to anybody. Sometimes someone comes here, maybe they're not here for a while, and they come back and we'll say something like, well, where have you been? With a smile. Where have you been? Don't make people feel bad. It ought to always be, we are so glad you're here today. After all, we wouldn't have invited them, right? If you invite someone to your house, are you shocked when they show up? Do they knock on the door and say, wow, what are you doing here? Well, you told me to come at 7. Well, I didn't think you'd show. You want to sit down? We didn't clean. Oh, were we supposed to have dinner for you? No. We invited them. They're going to come. Let's be ready for them. All of our responsibilities, okay? And I could say many things. Help them to get the best seats. By the way, these are not the best seats. This is where the nutcases sit. Okay? Let's give them, especially on friend day and these type of things, give them the best parking, okay? Let's not give them a map to Blue Line. You park at Blue Line. If you see a new person, put that away. Did you have coffee today? There's something wrong with you then. I forgot what I was going to say now. You messed me up. No. Tell Raul never to come back. You see someone walking around, they have that look on their face like, can I say something? They may have to use the bathroom. They don't know where it is. Say, you know what? There's one on the job site. By the way, I shouldn't say this, but pray for me. You know, those guys come and they clean it out, and I'm thinking, how do you go eat lunch after that? All right, we're moving on quickly here. So. Just show them where it is. But let's make people feel welcome. Next, everyone who comes has needs. He tells a story. He goes, a certain man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the thieves. They stripped him of his clothes. They took all of his things. They beat him, and they left him for half dead. Do you know people have needs? And he's teaching this man, when someone has needs, that's who you're supposed to befriend. Who's your neighbor? Anybody you come across who has needs. That's who your neighbor is. Do you know people come in, oh, they look like they were dressed for church today. You don't know what's going on in the background. By the way, all of us face struggles in our life. All of us are going to have, you don't know who's coming, even in this room. Some of you are faithful, and they don't know what, you don't know what they're facing in their life. Maybe they're concerned about, you know, they're getting laid off at work or something with a family member or maybe a relative and there's a clash or something. You don't know what's going on, and you just being friendly might relieve that for just a few minutes. People have needs. As I mentioned this morning, I wish everybody that came in was like, hey, where's the tithing envelopes? I want to give to mission. They don't come that way. You go to their house, you meet them, it's like, you know, I came to church because this is going on in my life and I need God's help. Hey, they came to the right place. But are we going to be there to help them? Well, that's your job. Listen, I can't do it with everybody. You know, well, the Filipino ministry, that's Brother Pichardo's job. Listen, he can't do it by himself. We're all supposed to be involved. All of us need to care and to help people. Wouldn't it be a shame for someone to come to church, a place that can help them to solve their problems and find solutions for their needs, and have them walk out and never come back just simply because there was no one there to help them? Wouldn't that be a shame? Let's not do that, and we try not to. Number 3, we must see everybody through the eyes of compassion. See, there was 3 people that saw that man that was beaten. You had the priest You had the Levite, the priest, that was his full-time gig. That was his job. The Levite, he was from that special tribe that was supposed to serve the Lord. One of them went over there and they saw the guy as they were coming up and they went around, they crossed the street, went around him. The other one came and at least he got a little closer and saw it and said, whoa, there's some issues here. And then he crossed the street and left. But the Samaritan, the one who the Jews looked down upon, he went there and he didn't see the guy through the eyes of problems. He saw the guy through the eyes of compassion. This is someone that needs my help. This is not someone else's responsibility. He is here. He's in front of me right now. Maybe God will allow me to be a blessing. Maybe God will allow me to help him because there's no one else around. Let's see people through the eyes of compassion. Compassion is not a, oh, I feel bad for you. That doesn't help anybody. Compassion is, I see it, I feel it, I'm doing something about it. If all it is some emotional feeling, wow, I wish life was going better for them. I wish they knew the Lord and they were going forward and God was working in their life like he's working in my life. No, it's like, what can I do, me, to help them to get to where God wants them to be? Let's see them through the eyes of compassion. And then I would say that we need to help them very, very practically. It says this. After he saw him, it says, and he went to him. This is all the things he did. And bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, money, and gave unto the host and said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Notice all these different things he was doing to help this man. He went to the man. He took initiative. He didn't have to be told, listen, hey, can you go help that person? No, he saw the need and he took the lead. He went after him. You see somebody, listen, what can we do to help them? What can we do to make them feel welcome? What can we do to be a witness, a Christian witness and a testimony to them? Don't have to wait to be asked to do something. Now, we have jobs and ministries, I understand that, but listen, anybody can go up and make somebody feel welcome. Anybody can go to somebody and help meet a need in their life. Take initiative. And he saw the man, he goes, I'm going to go. I'm not going to be like the other two guys. What are we waiting for? He bound up his wounds. He met his needs there. He didn't say, let me drag him to the hospital. He said, listen, this guy needs help long before he'll ever get to the hospital. He started helping him right then and there. Sometimes helping people can be messy. Sometimes helping people can take sacrifice. But you got to do it. What would you want someone to do if you were in that need, if you were in that way? By the way, some of you came to church and you had issues in your life, and someone was an encouragement and a help to you. Hey, why don't you go do that for somebody else? Take that same compassion and love that was shown you, and you go show that to somebody else. Bound up his wounds. He set him on his beast. He provided transportation. You know, sometimes people would come to church if we would pick them up. I don't know how many people. I can't do it as now on my schedule, but in the early days, we used to have a 15-passenger van, and there was always people we were picking up for church. Brother Albert's family used to pick them up for church for a long time. And then I said, I don't like them anymore, so we didn't. Remember, we started a Sunday school class, and I had that van, and there was several people that needed rides, and it wasn't a bus route, but I would come to church, and I got a guy, Mike, and I'm like, you know what you're going to do? You're going to drive my van. This is our family van. It was just so I was 15-passenger, because my wife's goal was to have enough children to fill that thing up. And so we got this big old 15, so I'd come to church, I'd throw him the keys, and he would drive around, and our Sunday school class wasn't a van route, it was just different adults that needed rides, and he'd go fill it up and bring it in. You meet somebody like, hey, I need a ride, get him a ride. Help him get to church. Do what you can to be a blessing, to get them to where they need to be. He brought him to an inn. You know what he did? He got him to the place where he can get help. You know, what better place to get help than at church? Encouraging people. Yes, a lot of newer people come on Sunday mornings. We need to encourage them to come back on Sunday nights. Come on Thursday nights. That's good for two reasons. One reason is they're going to learn more of the Bible. They're going to be around God's people more. But secondly, they're really going to start making some friends. They're really going to feel like, this is my church, and I have some friends there, and I enjoy coming and being with them. He took care of him. What did he do? He made him feel comfortable. He took out 2 pence. He provided financially. By the way, your tithe and giving and your sacrifice to this church allows our church to do the things we do to help others. But you know, there might be something that you have to do personally for people. We've done all kinds of things over the years, and I'm not patting us on the back, and we don't do it as well as we should. Sometimes a person needs this need or that need or that need, and we've just stepped out and helped them. No big deal. I just thought that was a Christian thing to do. You know, it's like, what is it? If you see your brother hath need, I'm misquoting the verse, and you have the means to help him, but you just pray for him and say, be warmed and filled, and you walk away. Have you loved him? Sometimes there'll be a need there, and God will tap your heart and say, you can take care of that one. You know, yeah, we're struggling on groceries, and you have a little extra, and you could get him some groceries. You're like, I'll pray for you. I'll tell you what you do. Pray while you're at the grocery store, buying them some groceries. Now, I understand. Well, there's people that come here all the time, and they want money, and they're lying to you. I know who they are. I've met them all. But sometimes people have legitimate needs, don't they? Maybe God would allow you to help them. Find it just out of there. And then take care of him. He provided ongoing encouragement. You know, he had to leave. And he left him at the end, and he told the innkeeper, listen, he gave him that money, and then he said, you take care of him. I'm not going to be here. And in the course of taking care of him, if it costs more than what I gave you, next time I'm back through town, I'll make up the difference. The point is, he goes, he didn't want to just help him there. You make sure this guy gets to where he needs to be. Make sure he gets healed enough to where he can go on his way. See, what we do sometimes, we'll go, one by one, soul winning. And then we never follow up on a person when they get saved. Or someone comes to church and, we're so glad you came. And we don't do anything to try to encourage them to come back. Listen, when someone visits our church, that's a starting point. We're trying to help them. We're trying to find out where they are spiritually and help them get to the next direction. Well, that's my Sunday school teacher's job. No. If you invited them, why don't you help? Why don't we get outside of ourselves? And I'm not telling you need to drop everything in seven. It doesn't take that much sometimes. Sharing a phone number. Hey, here's my number. If you need something, text me. That's ladies for ladies and guys for guys. Be careful about that. And maybe texting like, hey, how you been? I've been praying for you. Hope to see you soon. Just caring. We can all do that, right? And by the way, let me say this. When I do that, and I try to do that, and we have a system here, and I send out to everybody that visits, but they expect it from me. That's just what the pastor should do. But I'll tell you what makes an impact when someone else does it. Someone else in the church that they're not a pastor, they're maybe a Sunday school teacher, or they're someone that's attending the church, you're in the choir, you're working in the nursery, and you care for somebody, you know, that makes a big impact in their life. Another Christian cares about them. Not just trying to get them in the church, we're trying to see what we can do to be a help to them. The fall program's here, and we have a great opportunity. By the way, in our church, we have a great opportunity all the time. Let's try to get outside of ourselves. We see new people to say, hey, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a help? And encourage them in their faith. Let's stand together this evening.